Praise the Lord. Message number 262. The title of the message, God's Calling Requirements, Part 8. Let's open our Bible to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20. And let's read verse 13 to verse 18. Acts 20, verse 13. To verse 38, and this is part of Paul's missionary journey, where he moved and where he mobilized himself to meet the elders of the church of Ephesus. Acts 20, verse 13 to 38. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made his arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day, we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day, arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with a great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see him, that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Lord, we thank and praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for your word that you send on time to teach us your ways and your commands and your will, and to help us to understand things in the way that you want us to understand them, so that we can apply them in our life and our ministry to bear fruit, and a fruit that will last, so that your name will be glorified and the gospel will be preached to reach others. Oh God, I pray that the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished, and there will be more people raised up to serve you and be encouraged with your words and with your command. Oh God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will teach each and everyone who listen to be changed and transformed and do the service and the ministry of yours in the way that you want it to be. Lord, put verses and statements on my lips, and let the message give you glory and honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we have read and we have listened to the scripture from the book of Acts, chapter 20, there are certain things we come across and we will learn from them. We will learn from Paul and what he did, and his style of service and ministry unto God. The first point is, it mentioned that he had made this arrangement. The word arrangement. Paul make arrangement, and God called also to make arrangement. Paul made arrangement to meet with his companion that he was traveling with in his missionary journey. You need to be well organized person so you can be able to serve God and fulfill God's calling requirements in your life. Disorganized attitude and disorganized personality would hinder you from serving God in a proper way. Paul made his arrangement with reliable people, the disciples, to do the work of God. Check with whom you put your hand with, and with whom you are in a friendship and relationship. If you are in a friendship and relationship with worldly people, then all your arrangement will not be a fruitful and bring a glory to God. It will end up with a frustration and disappointments. Working and making arrangement with faithful disciples with the church of God will bring forth the real work of God and ministry in your life. The arrangement that Paul made with the disciples made further steps and details of the journey to be more clear. They met him at Assos, and they took him, and they went to Mytilene, and then next day they arrived at Caius. All was arranged. Day after, they crossed over to Samos, and the next day they arrived in at Miletus. And as he decided not to pass through the province of Asia, because he wanted to go to Jerusalem, they passed Ephesus, and from there they sent from Miletus. When they reached Miletus, Paul sent to the Ephesians for the elders to come and meet him. So he knew what he needed to do beforehand. He was a good planner. He planned it beforehand. Not only on the spot. Yes, the Holy Spirit will do certain things on the spot, but also the Holy Spirit wants us to plan ahead. You to be a good planner of what you need to do before you embark into the ministry. Some of you are very good planner for trips and get fun, and but when coming to the ministry and reaching new people and visiting people and doing Bible study and keep commitment to do certain ministry, you are not a good planner. No. God wants you to make arrangement before hand. Second point, use even your feet to reach people and to reach places. What we have read in Acts chapter 20, he had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. Paul was moving on foot. It is not clear why he did not go with them on the ship from Troas to Assos. But the point that I need to emphasize to you is that Paul used his feet to walk and travel. Your feet can be of a big help to you to go and visit, to go and have Bible study, to go and evangelize, to attend the prayer meeting, to attend the church meetings, to do the ministry. Use your feet as Paul used his foot. And when he used his foot, he traveled, his water with him, his bread with him. This all need to be organized. His pocket money with him. He had planned it, he had arranged it. He had budgeted himself, prepared himself for this trip. Third point, avoid wasting time and make the most of each opportunity. In verse 16 we have read, Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. Paul had decided to reach Jerusalem on Pentecost, but he needed also to meet the elders of the church at Ephesus. He needed to do both of them. Therefore, he decided that he would sail past Ephesus, so he will not waste time inside the city. He need to meet the others, so he were past the city. He called for them. They came and meet him. In doing the ministry of God, there are certain time you are in time constraint and need to do multiple tasks, but you are limited with certain time limit. That will teach you how much you allocate to each task and the way you achieve the task. If you are in time constraint, then you need to do the ministry in some other way. You must decide and know what are the priorities that you need to keep and attend the important things. Paul was not necessary for him to meet the whole church, but he need to meet the elders of the church because he already spoke and told them everything. He left them, now he come. Now he need to meet the elders of the church. And when he reached, what he did? We read verse 18, when they arrived, they said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the promise of Asia. Your life is the example for others to follow. How you live, how you speak, how you spend your money, how you eat, how you dress is the example, is the real example that God wants to use your life as example for others to follow. So your life example is very important. I'm very keen To give example, how I spend my money, the type of food I eat, my dress, how I budget my money, how I speak, how I persevere, how I am willing to be persecuted, insulted, humiliated. All this I keep the example, so that God, so that others will follow my example. You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, not squandering money, not after girls, not speaking bad, not looking for my own benefit, not collecting money, not working for money, not serving for living. All these are Paul did not do. The next point, serve with humility and be willing to be persecuted. In verse 19, I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plot of my Jewish opponents. You need humility so you can impart the message further and in a clearer way. Humility means no revenge, no retaliation, and willingness to forgive and forgive, so you can focus further on what you need to do. Paul served with humility. He was under threat and severe testing, plus of Jews, he was surrounded by opponent. Yes, that's correct, man. When you start to preach and not compromise and not go along with people's wishes and dreams and desires, you will be persecuted. And you not only need humility, but you need great humility. I serve God with great humility means keep focusing on your target even you are severely hurt. Severe testing and facing a plot will come across your way in responding to God's call, and you do not need to be discouraged. Instead, you need to go forward and treat these plots underfoot. This is the way to face persecution and threats. Humility. Can continue to serve, and with tears, with the prayer, severe testing, severe trial, plus persecution. Don't get discouraged or react or retaliate. More humility needed so that the message can reach further things. Next point, do not be hesitating to teach and admonish. In verse 20, he say, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. Respond to God's calling by continuous visitation to the homes of friends, families, and contacts, and combat sin with scriptures and explanations suited to the situation that the people you are reaching passing through. Keep open your mouth to preach and teach, admonish, exhort, rebuke, and correct. Combat sin with the message of repentance. In verse 21, Paul said to them, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. You need to tell the people the message of repentance and warn them. And tell them, turn to God in repentance. If you don't repent, then there is no salvation. You need to face the people. Don't be hesitant. Oh, don't say, oh, they know, I have told them, or they hear it, they are reading the Bible, or they are a Christian. No! Do not hesitate to declare what is helpful. Even you say it, and if you are there and you need to say it again, you say it again to them. Next point, respond and move by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. In verse 22, Paul say, "I'm now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." Compelled by the Holy Spirit, convinced by the Holy Spirit. And King James says, "I am bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem." This is how you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and submit your will to Him. You know, Paul received warning and that the Holy Spirit warned him. In every city, when we read verse, you know, 23, only that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me, you know, he received warning, but he did not turn off the calling of God and what he wants him to do. Receive warning and act and do not react. Paul was warned by the Holy Spirit that he is going to face trouble, but he accepted the task and did not run away. When there's a warning, that this meant me to quit or stop or turn back. No, it means that you need to be more careful and aware and plan well and be ready. The next point is, be determined to accomplish and finish the task God is asking you to do. In verse 24, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. In King James, we can read it in this way, in verse 24, but none of these things move me. Oh, wonderful. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the mercy which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said that this warning, it has no value to me. Not if this move me away. Neither count I my life dear unto me. The point here that we want to emphasize here, that he did not think about his life, and he did not think about the threat. Paul was not affected or hindered or moved away by trials, and even his own life was not dear to him. His focus was on finishing the task to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What God wants to tell you here now, do not focus on trials, do not focus on threats, but focus on how you finish and complete the task that God has entrusted to you. Don't think about your life and don't think about the trial that you are passing through, the threat. The next point here, do not be emotional person. Paul knew that he will not meet again the elders of the Ephesian church, nor he will meet the Ephesian church. And verse 25, he told them, now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. And that was not a burden or a problem to him. His mind and conscience was clear, for he already achieved and had done his part to them by declaring to them the whole will of God. In verse 26 and 27, therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Now here when Paul, he told them, I know that I will not going to see anyone of you. He did not say no, and I will cry, and I'll be missing you, and how I can live with that. No, that is not his point. His point, but he's going to tell them that even if I'm not going to see you again, I have done my part to you. I have declared to you the whole will of God. I am innocent of the blood of any of you. Apply the example of Paul into your life. Have you done your part well, and have you declared the whole will of God to the people that you are in contact with? If no, then it is a problem that if you will move away from them, because their blood will be on your neck. If not, then you need to be more focused on how to declare to them the whole will of God, because their blood will be on your neck and your responsibility. But if you have done it well, if yes, then don't let emotion and feelings bother you. You know, even at the end of the meeting, we have read that when Paul finished, he knelt down and prayed, and they all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompany him to the ship. The point here, emotion has no value if you have not done the work of God. Paul did the work, and he's not controlled by his emotion. Emotion should not control us, because it manipulates our hearts and mind and soul and spirit, and hinder us from doing the whole will of God, and hinder us also from doing the ministry further in the area that God called us to serve. Next point here is, be watchful on yourself and on the people under your care. Paul told them, keep watch over yourself and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, the shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Devil may attack you or attack the people under your care. Therefore, be watchful and alert to act and to protect. The next point, expect and do not be amazed if there will be wolves trying to persecute you and do harm. And verse 29 and 30, Paul said to the elders, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Do not react, do not be panicked or discouraged if you find people after all your hard work and labor for them will start to do evil against you and against God's church. That is expected. It happened to Jesus, it happened to the apostles and the disciples, and it will be happening even to us today. It will happen even to you today. Be alert and watchful to rescue the sheep from their mouth. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day. So here, the warning, not that you go discouraged and get panic and react, why like that and why they are doing like this. The message is that That is expected, that will be wolves. But your responsibility to protect the remaining from their mouth and from their hands. Next point is to commit the people to the word of God. In verse 32, you say, I commit you to the God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Commit the people to God's word. If they are righteous, the righteous will be rewarded according to God's word, and the wicked also will be under judgment with what the word of God ordained for his or her wickedness. We cannot reward anyone, and you cannot reward anyone. What we can do is to commit them to the word of God. Give the word of God. Those obedient, they will be rewarded, and those who are disobedient and harmful, they will be disciplined and punished by the Lord. Next point, do not covet. Verse 33, Paul said to them, I have not coveted any one silver or gold or clothing. The point here, you may say, people who has things better than you. They may have more salaries, more income, better houses, better resources. We may say people are better than us in material way. The point here, do not covet. Do not covet what they have. But remember that you have God, and you have his word that will give you inheritance in heaven. I have God and I have his word that promised me inheritance as you continue to persevere in serving him. I don't need to covet anyone. I need to save the Lord and his people according to the word of God. Manage your life and the ministry needs. Verse 34, Paul told them, you yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. Stewardship and honest management for life and ministry is an important aspect and should not be overlooked. That will help us. That will help you to reach out people without waiting or depending on what they will give you. We as a church, we manage our life, we manage our finances, we manage our resources in a proper way, so we will be able to reach new people. We don't reach new people so that we expect from them to help us. No, we reach new people in order to help them to know God and Christ and to follow. Next point, work hard to help the weak. In verse 35, Paul said, in everything I did, I show you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We need to help the weak in their weaknesses and aid them to follow Christ and walk and live according to his word. The weak are not the poor or those who have no money. The weak, those who have certain weaknesses. Somebody who had fighting with his manager and he lost his job. What is his weakness? He has no money. No, his weakness is his tongue and his anger. It needs to be helped and corrected. We must recognize the people's weaknesses. Somebody who have hypertension and he have diabetes, and you look to his and he want money for medicine. What is his weakness? Money? It could be money. But the main weakness If you look to his life and his style of eating and food, spending too much on food, on food that aggravate his sickness, his weaknesses, his stomach that he cannot control and he cannot discipline. We need to help the weak after we recognize their weaknesses. The last point from the scripture we learn about God's calling requirements from this message: be trained to kneel down and pray with the people. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. It's now the time for us to kneel down and pray. Let's kneel down. God's word always come on time to us, to help us and mold us the way that God wants us to be, to serve him, so that the mission of God will go further forward and in a fruitful and effective way. Make your commitment with God to comply and to apply these principles. Use your feet. Be a good planner. Let your life example be set right before God and people. Declare the will of God to them in full. Don't be an emotional person. Lord, I will not be emotional, but I will be keen to apply your principle. I'll be watchful and careful to care for those you entrust to me, Lord. I will not waste time, O God. Tell him I will not covet. I will commit the people to the word of yours. I commit myself, O God, not to focus on threats or trials or problems or my own life, but to finish the task that you entrust to me. O God, I thank you, Lord, and I praise you. Tell him, God, I commit my life fully unto you, Lord. O God, thank you for your word that clear to me. Lord, I commit myself to the principle I learned of the message, and so that I will serve you and do the ministry faithfully. O God, tell him, Lord, sustain me, mold me, and provide for me to achieve all that. O Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and everyone who commit his life, raise him as servant of yours to do the ministry faithfully. As he commits his life to manage his own life well, you bless him and provide for him and sustain him and be with him, O God. Be with us as a church as we apply your principle of your word. Be with us, sustain us to declare the whole will of yours and to testify the gospel of Jesus to the end of the earth till you come and take us. Lord, bless us, enlarge our territory, God. Let your hand be with us. Keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, in Christ's name. Amen and amen.